Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and yet throughout the Bible we are told not to deny Jesus. Imagine having Jesus through whom comes the love of God and still being told not to deny Jesus. It would almost seem impossible to deny Jesus, and yet if we are warned against it, it must be possible. Some look to the words of Jesus to not deny him and conclude that they need to verbally attack others who do anything they do not agree with. They criticize and castigate using religious-sounding words without considering that what they are doing is probably something Jesus wouldn't have done. Jesus was on the record throughout his earthly ministry to attack those who used religion to oppress others, with the Pharisees and scribes getting the most pushback from Jesus. There is an interesting account that involves the scribes and Pharisees and a woman brought to Jesus by them. This woman had been caught in the very act of adultery and, according to the Old Testament, was to be stoned to death. The scribes and Pharisees didn't bring this woman to Jesus for any reason except to entrap Jesus through his words. This woman was a pawn to entrap Jesus. Instead of joining with them to condemn the woman, Jesus challenged the scribes and Pharisees until one by one they left, and Jesus was left alone with her. One-on-one with the woman, Jesus did not condemn her and simply told her to go and sin no more. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus did not condemn this woman for her sin, even though according to what was written in the Old Testament, she should have been stoned to death. In the world in which we live, we are surrounded by a world which lives in sin. We do not need to be condemning the sin we see in the world to not deny Jesus. We do not need to be verbally attacking these people, but we do need to be aware of these people. Jesus told the disciples that he would be sending them out as sheep amid wolves. He explained how these people would be attacking them. And today, we should expect the same, knowing that we will be hated of all men for the name of Jesus. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. As we are attacked by others for our beliefs, we cannot deny Jesus Christ. We must confess Jesus Christ. It is especially when we are attacked for our beliefs that we cannot deny Jesus Christ. Even when we are attacked, when we feel our life may be threatened, we must confess Jesus. Verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If we deny Jesus, that means we are not confessing him. And not confessing Jesus, especially that Jesus came in the flesh, died, and was resurrected so that our sins could be forgiven, puts us in company with the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Confessing Jesus Christ and not denying him means we do not love the world or the things that are in the world, because all that the world can offer us is what will eventually die. And when we do this, it makes us into a liar. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Efforts were already underway during the earthly ministry of Jesus to attack those who confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. The Jews wanted any who publicly believed that Jesus was the Messiah to be kicked out of the synagogue. When Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath, the parents of the blind man were reluctant to acknowledge that Jesus had done the healing because they know they could be kicked out of the synagogue for this. John 9, verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Peter warned of false prophets and teachers who will secretly introduce heresies within the church, even denying Jesus Christ. Many people will follow these heresies, and through this denial, what is truth will be considered evil, even though they will use flattering words, all to make money off the brethren. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Denying Jesus puts us in the same company as these false prophets and teachers, and can lead to our destruction as much as Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. When we deny Jesus, we place ourselves in the company of those who walk after the flesh and all the sin that comes with that. Those who deny Jesus Christ speak evil of things they do not understand, such as what is righteous and biblically true. They purposely deceive people who are not grounded in the faith. Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Those who deny Jesus are like an empty well, where upon approaching it, there is the hope of water, only to realize that hope is empty and void. Verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Those who deny Christ promise freedom, but the freedom they promise is entangled in sin, and instead of growing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they live their life in the works of the flesh, becoming more entangled in sin as they go through life. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. When we confess Jesus, we live our life knowing that we were bought and paid for with a high price. And because of that, we live our life so that God and Jesus Christ may be glorified. Not so that the works of the flesh may be magnified. As we confess Jesus, we seek to resolve civil matters with other brethren through faith. We are honest with all people, including those of the faith. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. As we confess Jesus, we do not wallow in our sins, but transcend what is typical behavior of people, especially when those behaviors contradict what is in the Bible. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. As we confess Jesus, we grow to spiritual maturity, knowing there is nothing we can allow ourselves to do that would allow others to control us. We act knowing our body is given to us not so that we can sin, but so that we can live our physical life doing what is acceptable and pleasing to God. Verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. We live in a society where what is done is rooted in sin. We cannot stay rooted in that sin, and as we confess Jesus, knowing that we are members of Christ, we will flee sin and glorify God in our body. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In writing to Timothy, Paul showed how when times are tough, people are likely to deny Jesus. He told Timothy of the need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When times are easy, we do not endure hardness. He also warned about becoming entangled in the affairs of this life. When what we do in this life keeps us from being a follower of Jesus Christ, we have become entangled. That entanglement can be huge or small. Some people become entangled by things which on the surface look good and are pleasing to the eye, much like the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil looked to Eve. We must stay focused on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and know above all else that is our focus now. With that future focus, we work now for that future that we seek, and we also endure the troubles of this life. We do not allow ourselves to be consumed by the difficulties of life. When we suffer in this life because of the faith we have, we know we are focused on the kingdom of God to come. Instead of giving ourselves a free pass to give up because things are hard, we endure to the end so that we can obtain salvation, knowing that if we suffer for the faith, we will reign with Jesus Christ. But that if we deny Jesus Christ, he will deny us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Enduring to the end gives us no excuse to become bored with the faith, because when we become bored with the faith, we open our minds to just about anything else, including profane and vain babblings, concepts of man that contradict the Bible, that are focused on the self, and there is so much in our society focused on the self today. The danger with these is that these lead to more and more ungodliness, making society worse and worse. When the kingdom of God is established on earth, what God values is what society will value. But right now, what society values and what God values are different. We cannot allow society's ideas that contradict the Bible to have any place in our life. We endure living in the society, but are distinct from society. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We flee from what society prioritizes and follow that which is good, such as righteousness, faith, love, and peace with others of the faith. We avoid meaningless and foolish questions to avoid disputes among those of the faith. It is not given to us to know every detail of what is to come. Prophecy at best gives us a dark, smoky glass to look through where we may barely be able to see outlines and frameworks. Instead of focusing on those things which we cannot prove at this time, we are gentle with all people, patient, and able to teach so that more people can be saved. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We live our lives knowing that we cannot live our life trying to please people. When we try to please people, we are not the servants of Jesus Christ. We are the servants of the people we try to please. We cannot allow society to change what the Bible teaches. We might use what is happening in society to teach what is taught in the Bible as those situations arise, but we are not going to change what is taught in the Bible as if we are trying to please society. What we teach always will reflect the truth of the Bible and will never be diminished by what society thinks. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I now seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. When Paul was in Athens, he taught them of God, but taught them of God in a way they were more likely to understand. He did not compromise on the truth of the Bible, but used words and terminology they could relate to, and today we must be able to do the same. Paul introduced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the unknown God, because that was what the people of Athens could understand. He used their concept of the unknown God to introduce the gospel. Now, what Paul did not do is borrow from all their other gods and introduce them as part of the faith. Paul found a point of entry to teach the faith, and in teaching, he remained faithful to the truth of the Bible. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Even of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. In confessing Jesus and not denying Jesus, we are warned to not accept those who bring teachings other than what is found in the Bible, to not even bid them Godspeed. If we convey that God should bless somebody for not obeying the Bible, we are no different than those people. 2 John 1, verse 10. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We have been called to a faith with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of our faith. And to many who are not of the faith, that cornerstone is nothing more than a rock which trips them up. Whenever I find myself tripping over something, I tend to get angry with myself because the last thing I want to do is fall. Those who are not of the faith also find themselves getting angry with Jesus and also get angry with those who follow Jesus, even though they may not fully realize it. We cannot allow their anger and frustration to bring us to a point where we deny Jesus Christ and the faith we have. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. At all times we must remember we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. When people tell us we have a strange religion, even if they mean an insult, take it as a compliment, because it is we who are called out of darkness to be part of the light that comes through Jesus Christ, who are the people of God, having obtained mercy. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We must live our lives so that what we do shines brightly in a world that rejects the faith we have been given. We never deny Jesus Christ, and through faith in what we do, we confess Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.